Ago, a young man came to minister to us from a ministry school at Bethel, and as it was, God's providence connected him to this house, to this family, to this community. He came back, he went to school, he got married, and now he's just this wonderful, successful guy that I've seen grow both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And it's a privilege as a sort of like a spiritual dad to a son of this house to welcome Jared Anderson. Can you welcome and honor him this morning?
Good morning. How are you guys doing? I'm going to adjust this to my height. Wrong one. This one? No. I should know this because, you know what? My background is in film and television, so you'd think I'd know to do that, but I didn't. Well, good morning, everyone. Joppy, I can hear you, and you sound very bored. It's not what I'm going for today. In 2012, I was going to Regent University, and I remember walking into the library one day, and it was just a normal day, going to school, you know, trying to study, but really not wanting to. You guys know that feeling, right? And I remember I walked in and I saw one of my friends, and you know, we were just talking, and I just remember feeling the presence of the Lord. And I was like, I looked at her, I was like, do you feel that? She's like, yeah, I do. We weren't doing anything, we were just talking, but we felt like this tangible presence of the Lord come on us. I was like, what is going on? And I remember we walked over and we saw some other friends standing, and they were sitting at a table, you know, doing what they were supposed to be doing in the library and working on homework. And we just walked over and we were just chatting with them a little bit here and there, but I remember just, the presence of the Lord was so strong, and I just remember looking at her and I was just like, you still feeling it? She's like, yeah. And so we just started praying. Here we are in the library, and I don't know half the people at the table. So they're kind of looking at us like, what are they doing? They're like praying, and we're like trying to study. It's kind of weird. And so we just started praying. And I remember one of the guys sitting at the table, he is a good friend of mine now, but he was had a very conservative background, never really, like, grew up Baptist, didn't really know about the Holy Spirit, never really had felt like God tangibly touch him. And I remember he's sitting there, and he's like, guys, I don't know what's going on, but I'm starting to feel something. And we're like, okay. And he's just like, this is kind of weird. And so we just stood around this table and started praying. Holy Spirit, come. We don't know what you're doing. But we just want more. Like, come, Holy Spirit. And as we're praying, everyone at the table starts getting encountered by God. The one girl at the end of the table, she'd never really had an encounter, and she ended up she dropped to the floor and started crying. The presence of God was so tangible. God just started ministering to her heart. It was this really powerful, amazing time. We spent 4 hours in the library. 4 hours. And just God was just showing up, and it was like incredible. And I don't know if some of you have never felt the presence of God, but it's just like, think about the best time, like think about the best feeling, and times it by like 10. It's like you're just overwhelmed, and there's purpose, and it's so hard to explain, but we just were in that for 4 hours. And people were walking in the library and going, what's going on over here? And they'd walk over to us, and they'd just start getting encountered by God. The next week after that, we were like, hey, well, let's just meet up and we'll do a prayer meeting at a friend's house. And so we had like this little prayer meeting. There's like 6 or 8 of us. The power of God shows up again. And I'm falling down the stairs. And it's just so powerful. The next week after that, word just starts getting out about these little prayer meetings we're doing. And people start coming. The next week after that, more people are coming. The next week after that, more people are coming. The next week after that, more people are coming. 60 to 70 people meeting in the Regent Student Lounge area, being encountered by God, people being healed, people hearing the Lord's voice who've never heard it before. And it was one of the most amazing times in my life to be a part of that. And let me tell you right now, there is no there was nothing that compares to the community that was created in that place. And when I was praying and going, God, what do you want me to talk about with Harvest? What do you want me to share about? I felt like the Lord said that he wants to unite us. Harvest. He wants to unite us. He wants us to come together. You know, we're a family, but sometimes family is messy. Sometimes family's messy. My family's messy. But you know what? We're family, and we come together. And I just felt like the Lord said, I want to bring people together. I want to unite us. And let me tell you, when we come together in the presence of the Lord, when we come together and God is part of that equation, the relationships that are formed, the things that happen in that place are far greater than anything that could happen without him. Amen. So getting into this just a little bit, I want to talk about why community is important. And I started touching base on that just a little bit ago, but unity. Unity, unity, unity. We are the body of Christ. You hear people talk about that from Scripture all the time. Like, you know, some people are feet, some people are legs, some people are calves, I don't know. But like, we all play a part in the body. But let me just tell you guys, like, if we're not working together, how are we accomplishing anything? How can a body accomplish anything if it's not working together? If your hand isn't working with your shoulder, how is it going to reach out and grab something? I work for the 700 Club. I'm a features producer there, and I love my job. The old way of producing at the 700 Club was the one producer did everything. I mean, they would go out, they'd interview, they'd transcribe the whole interview, they'd come back, they'd be in post-production, they just did everything. And that was the way that they used to do it. It was very independent. But recently we've started doing this new team concept where we work together. You know, where I might go out and do the interview, but then I'll come back, I'll give it to somebody else, they'll write it, and then somebody else might, you know, produce it in post-production. And it's really interesting because we've actually found something out. Do you know that the quality of our work is probably twice the quality, far greater, because we're working together. More eyes are on it, more people are working on it. The quality is way better. But not only that is quantity, we're pumping out stories. We're pumping them out way faster because we're working together. And I used to joke when we first started doing it, I called us Team Chipotle. Because how many of you guys have been to Chipotle? I'm a big fan. You go down the line, and one person doesn't serve you and keep walking with you all the way down. They dump it, they pass. They dump it, they pass, and they work it down that way. But it's a brilliant concept. But it's a great picture of like working together. You can produce things faster. You can do these things. So unity's huge. Very huge. Accountability. Yep. I went there. And I'm going to go there. We don't like that word, do we? We don't like being held accountable. Accountability is huge. Like when we're in community, people hold us to a standard. Pastor Harold is like, I mean, he's been like a huge influence in my life. He is always there to hold me accountable no matter what I do. And it's, you know what? It's a great thing. It's a great thing. When we have people who hold us to a standard and they go, hey, I notice that you're acting like this. This isn't you. Or I notice that you're making some of these decisions. Why are you doing that? Like, that's powerful. We need that. That's a huge aspect of why community is important. Because you know what? It's easy just to do life by ourselves. We can't do that. We can't do that any longer. The last kind of thing I want to touch on is not so much a biblical thing. Well, maybe it's biblical, but it's more psychological in nature. Social health. Community is important for our social health. And I have a video that I'm going to show you guys because this is what I do. I didn't do this video, but I love showing videos. So go ahead and take a look at this.
In the 1960s, a U.S. town called Rosetto was an anomaly in America. No one under 55 had died of a heart attack or showed any signs of heart disease. The local death rate for men over 65 was half the national average. A team of researchers led by Dr. Stuart Wolfe considered whether this was because of their diet, location, family history, or exercise habits, but on the surface, nothing was different from the rest of America. In fact, the town was made up of Italian immigrants who worked in quarries and factories, smoked unfiltered cigars, and had dinner tables laden with rich Italian food. Rosettans of the 1960s still held on to their old world ways. It was normal to find three generations under the same roof. 80% of men in the town were members of at least one community group. They would gather in each other's kitchens, play cards, and simply talk. The conclusion? Rosettans were nourished by each other. Over the next decade, the multi-generational homes broke up, and by 1971, when opulent houses, expensive cars, and swimming pools appeared, the first person under the age of 55 died of a heart attack. By the 1980s, the rate of fatal heart attacks in Rosetto was the same as the rest of the country.
Many people don't have an extended family that they see regularly. They don't have two or three generations of people who live in the neighborhood together. They don't have a church or synagogue they go to regularly. They don't have a job that they've been at for many years. And we all know that these things affect the quality of our lives, but they actually affect our survival, and to a much larger degree than we had once realized. And so what we've learned is that it's not enough to focus on the behavior. It's not enough just to give people information. We have to work at this deeper level. You know, the number one most commonly prescribed prescription drugs in the U.S. and probably most of the world have been antidepressants for the last 10 years, because there are a lot of depressed people out there. Now, a skeptic might say, oh, come on, give me a break. You mean sitting around talking about my feelings, you know, is somehow going to help me live longer if I've got cancer? Please. It's so easy to make fun of these ideas. Oh, these are, you know, we're just so touchy-feely, you know, but we are touchy-feely creatures. We are creatures of community. That's how we've survived as a species, is by learning how to care and love and nurture each other. And we ignore those ideas at our own peril.
Exactly what he said. Don't you guys find that fascinating? We live longer when we're in community, when we have relationships, when we have these deep relationships. So the lesson learned here is everybody move back in with your parents. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I did not tell you to do that. Okay, we've talked about why community is important, but let's get a little into what does community look like. Now, I shared a little bit about my story, but I want to look kind of at the Bible. Let's look at the early church. Great example. So everybody, if you want to open up to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And while you're opening up there, we're going to start in verse 42, but I'll give you a little bit of a preface to what's going on here. Peter has just, the whole upper room experience has just happened. Peter just gave this big, you know, message, you know, and a bunch of people were just saved. So this is like the beginning of the early church right here. We're coming in right here. So again, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And guys, this is really good stuff. Let's just get excited about this, because I love this. All right, verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Wow. Do you guys see it? They were continually devoting. The word devoting there, I actually looked into the Greek. Now, I'm not going to try and tell you what the Greek word sounds like, because I can't do that. But I did look at, I'm like, what does this word devoting mean? And one of the examples it had was to be constantly diligent. So they were continually devoting. They were diligently, you know, just fervent in spirit towards this. But what I find so interesting is it says they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Okay, well, what the heck's fellowship? If we break fellowship down, it is community, but one of the examples I saw was, it says literally participation. Participating. They were together in community participating. And we're called to devote ourselves to that. Wow. Verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. In this place of community, they're finding God's just showing up. And that's what happened, like when I was at Regent and this stuff started happening. It was in that place of community that God began showing up, that God began showing up in miracles, signs, and wonders. It was amazing, but it started with us coming together. Are you coming together with people? Are we coming together? Church is great. Coming to church is great. But are you coming together with people and really pursuing the Lord? Or are you just coming in here, sitting down and hearing a message and going home and continuing your life? Verse 44, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. There we go again. They were together. And they had all things in common. What does that mean? I don't know what that means, but when I read that, I'm like, to me, that kind of feels like they had the one thing that was, the main thing that was in common. They're all pursuing the Lord. They're all pursuing God. And when you have that in common, none of that other stuff matters. When we were a part of that movement at Regent and this revival, like, we weren't like, oh, well, that person believes that the gifts of the Spirit aren't, you know, happening anymore, so, you know, we can't really do fellowship with them. We can't be a part of that with them. No. We just came together and we were worshiping. And let me tell you, some of the people who didn't believe in that, they got healed. So, you know what? That's cool. All right, moving forward. Verse 45, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. I'm not telling you that you need to sell everything. But there was such a generosity. And you can't have community without generosity. You can't, because community is about sharing. And if you don't want to share, you're probably not going to have a very good community. Because that's what it's about. It's coming together and people providing things and people helping each other out and sharing and doing life. All right. I'm getting excited. I don't know about you guys, but verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. That one mind can also mean one passion. They had one thing. They were like, God, we're going to pursue you. We're going to come together and we're pursuing you. That's our passion. And breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I'm telling you, there's something about breaking bread with people. There's something about having a meal with people. The Stump family, we love them to death, my wife and I. Dustin, can you stand up? This is my wife. She is gorgeous, and I love her. And we've been married just a little over a year, but the Stump family has been a wonderful picture of community. Let me tell you, I'm going to have them stand up. Papa Stump, can you stand up? And Mama Stump, stand up. I'm going to embarrass you guys. And Quattro, stand up over there. Okay. You guys want to know that when Dustin and I were getting married, we got married a little over a year ago, that this family came beside us. And there was a bunch of people that came beside us and really helped us too. But these people, they housed my family who flew in. They did the sound at my wedding. They, anything we needed, they made it happen. And they came, and we were overwhelmed, still are, overwhelmed with the generosity and the love. And we've never felt just so part of a family and so part of a community. And let me tell you guys, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like having that. You can't buy that. You can't replace that. So I just really want to get you guys excited and like find godly community. Find godly community. In the church today, a lot of times I've been there and I've done that, so I'm calling myself on this as well. I just come in. All right, I'm going to church. I come in, I hear the sermon, I get up, I leave. I don't talk to anybody. Now, I'm an introvert, and what that means is all introverts. thanks for that, Matt. As an introvert, I get my batteries recharged when I'm alone. So I'm not like the most social person, but like for me, like it's easy for me just to come in and then leave and not really talk, interact with people. But that's not community, guys. That's not community. If you're just coming in, I clocked in, I came, I did church, I sat through the service, I left, cool, I did the church thing. No, you didn't. Because we're called to devote ourselves to community. Who are you interacting with? Who are you sharing life with? Who are you doing life with? Because if you're not doing life with people, you don't have community. Community takes time. It does. My wife and I know that. We have to be intentional about it. And we have to work at it. And we have to go, you know what, let's have some people over this week. And if we don't sit down ahead of time and go, well, this is important. We need to be doing life together. If we don't do that, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't. Life is busy. It will fill up. You don't find time for things. You make time for things. So what are you making time for? What is priority to you? Because community needs to be a priority. You can't do it alone. You cannot walk this Christian life alone. I'm telling you guys. I tried to do it when I was younger. I got saved when I was about 18, 19. And, you know, when I got saved, I had all these friends, but they weren't believers. And they were good people. I mean, they weren't, like, running around doing awful things. But, like, I didn't have, like, any Christian friends. And here I am saved, and I'm like, what do I do with this? And I remember specifically there was this one time, and I remember it was just, we were out and we were hanging out, we were camping, and it was just like, I was just like, what are we doing? Like, there's no purpose. Like, we've just come together and we're friends, but there was no purpose behind us being together. We weren't going anywhere together. We weren't growing together. And I just remember I was just like, that God just kind of came and really impacted me, and I knew, I was like, I got to find Christian community. I have to. I can't grow in this. Because if you're a Christian and your community is found among people who aren't believers, I'm just being honest with you guys, like, it's going to slow you down. It's going to prevent you from growing. It's going to hold you back. And I'm not saying don't be friends with people who aren't believers. Don't hear that, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, who are the people you're running with? Who are the people that you're doing life with? Who are the people you're sharing what's inside here with? I tried to do it alone. Didn't work. I want to talk about, too, like, the whole body of Christ thing. I'm going to take a drink of water because I'm a little sick. Anybody else sick? Because this is not fun. Yeah, back there? Okay. As the body of Christ, we all play a role in the church, in the community of believers. And I talked about that a little bit earlier, but what part of the body are you? What part are you playing? I remember I have a mentor back home in Washington. This guy's awesome. When I first got saved, he was the one who basically discipled me. Amazing man of God. And I remember he was talking to me. He's like, "Hey, how's this church going that you're going to and that you're a part of?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's good." I was like, "I don't think I'm gonna go there anymore. I'm kind of looking for another place to go." He's like, "Oh, really?" He's like, "Well, what's going on?" And I was like, "I'm not really being fed." And he's like, "Not being fed." I was like, "Yeah, I just don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it." And I'll never forget, because he's kind of an abrasive guy. I like it, though. It's like, he's very confrontational, but he's just like, "Jared, are you a baby?" And I'm like, "No." And he's like, "Because babies need to be fed." He said, "You better be in your alone time with the Lord. You better be in Scripture. You better be feeding yourself." He said, "You want to know what? Church and community?" He said, "It's not about what you get. He said, it's about what you bring to the table. And that, like, shocked me. And I was kind of like, I felt a little called out, but I was fine with it, you know? But I was like, whoa, like, he's right. And you read through Scripture, and they talk about, like, bring a song, bring a hymn, bring all these things. What are you bringing to the table? What part of the body are you? And what are you bringing to the community? And it revolutionized the way I thought, because I was like, you know what? I stayed going to that church because I was like, you know what? It's not about what I'm receiving here. It's about what I'm here to give. What am I here to do? What can I do to give to the body? And it was an amazing concept, and it really has challenged me in a lot of ways. And so I want to ask you that question. What part of the body are you? What are you bringing to the table? Because church and community is not about just showing up and hearing a sermon and walking out. It's about doing life together, and it's about you bringing something. And I want to challenge you guys, but I'm not saying you need to, like, serve the church, serve all these things. The body of Christ is bigger than just Harvest. But what are you bringing? One of the things that I experienced when I was doing community when I was an unbeliever, I was about 18, 19, and I had these friends, and they were good people. And this is, you know, back when I was just telling that story a little bit ago. But I know that for me, one of the things that I realized was we came together, but there was zero vulnerability. Like, it was just, we come together, we have fun. Cool. But there was no vulnerability. Nobody was like, hey, I'm struggling, man. This is what I'm going through. This is what's going on. Here's my past. This is what I've been through. Nobody did that. Everybody's too afraid. Nobody trusted each other. Nobody opened up and shared their hearts. Guys, that's not okay. We can't live life like that. We can't do life like that. I remember when I started sharing and opening up, I moved down to go to Bethel, School of Supernatural Ministry. I didn't know what I was doing. I just got saved, and I was like, I guess I'm going to go there, because I went to one of their conferences. It was awesome. I don't know who Bill Johnson is. I'll just go. And so I was like, because to me, when God became real, nothing else mattered. If God's real, then the career doesn't really matter. I was like, he's so real. I just want to get to know him more and then know what his will is for my life. So I moved down to Bethel, and I moved in with a house of 12 guys. Yeah. 6 bedrooms. You want to know what, though? There was lots of confrontation, and there was lots of, everybody shared a room. Nobody had their own room. So there was a lot of confrontation, but you want to know what? The first day I got there, everybody was just opened their hearts up to each other and was like, hey, man, this is what's going on with me. I'm so glad to be here. This is kind of my past, and this, and this. And everybody was so open, and I was shocked. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, people are being real. I don't know what to do with this. So I was like, I guess I'll be real too. And I shared my past. I shared my junk. I shared my dark secrets with these people. And you want to know what? There were some strong, beautiful relationships forged in that. Stronger than anything else that I'd had before. And it was amazing because there was vulnerability. There was acceptance. There was accountability. We called each other out on stuff all the time. I remember one time one of my roommates, we had, like, went out and prayed for people, and he was just really kind of discouraging about the whole thing. I was like, hey, man, wasn't that cool? Like, he's like, yeah, it was cool or whatever. And I was like, wait, what? So, like, I just totally confirmed. I was like, why are you, like, this was awesome. Like, we got to reach out to these people. We got to do this. And you want to know what? He was like, you know what, man? You're right. My attitude's just off. You're right. And he totally was just like, you know what, I trust you, and I know that, like, you know my heart and stuff, and you know what, you're right, like, I need to change my heart. And we had so many situations like that, lots of confrontation, and that is a huge part of healthy community. If you're not having confrontation, you're not going to have very good community, because let me tell you right now, you're going to have an issue with somebody. Family's messy. And if we're called to be the family of God, you call people brother and sister, it's going to get messy. So we got to learn how to do communication as well, which is huge. My wife could probably teach a way better message on communication than me. Why are people laughing? all of this experience when I went down, I lived with these 12 guys, we're all pursuing God. The cool thing to do was spend time with God, go out and minister to people on the street, and just do life together. These are the cool things to do. I come out of, you know, going to high school and college, I'd never even heard of some of this stuff, and I'm just like, this is crazy. So we come together, but it created this greenhouse effect. This community did, and let me tell you, I grew and I grew and I grew and I grew. And in community, you will always grow more than you can by yourself. Always. People are challenging you. People are encouraging you. They're like, come on, you're doing great. Keep moving. You don't get that by yourself. You don't. So I was asking myself, community is great. We beat that horse to death right now. Got it. What is holding us back from finding community? What's keeping us? One of the things for me, I know, and I'll just be really honest with you, sometimes it's a lack of intentionality. I'm guilty. Where I just don't make time for it, like I was talking about earlier. Like, I'm just not intentional about it. I don't go out of my way for it. I'm like, hey, if it comes to me, great, that's easy. But I don't go out of my way for it. I don't try to make it happen. That's not okay. Things that are priorities in our lives, we make time for and we go after. So are you going after that? Are you being intentional about it? Because it may not come to you. You might have to create it yourself. I know that I got to pick up leading a group. We were over here, actually, and it was a young adult group called Resonate. And I took over as leader. I guess it was about a year and a half ago. And it was really amazing because the guys who had started it were like, we don't see any community among the young adults here, so let's create it. And so I got to come in and kind of be part of that. And when I took over, I know it was like creating that community was hard. Like, you have to make time for it. But you know what? It was so cool because as we came together and we started making time to connect, we made time, we got to just see some amazing things happen. One of the things that we started doing right off the bat was, we're like, you know what, let's have people share their stories, their testimonies. Every week we're going to have somebody share a testimony of their life, but we're not going to do this normally, like a normal one. We're going to sit down, we're going to give people 10, 15 minutes, and we want them to be real. Let's just be real. So we're like, okay, well, if we're going to ask them to do that, we got to do that ourselves. We got to set that bar. So I remember sitting down and going, all right, guys, here's my story, sharing all my past, sharing my past struggles, sharing what I've went through in my life. And you want to know what happened? Once we set that bar, we set that tone, if you will, people were so accepting and people were so real. And every week we had people sharing story after story. Some people had a background in homosexuality. Some people had a background with mental issues. We had everything, but you want to know what happened? People felt so accepted. People felt so loved. And in that, it bonded us together. There was such a strength. There was such a... No one said anything to anybody about anybody's story. We didn't even have to say. It's just people came together, and it was such a beautiful, beautiful picture of community. Who are you sharing life with? Who are you sharing? What's going on in here? Have you ever shared your past with someone? Have you ever shared the deep, dark stuff in here with anyone? You need to. It can't stay in here forever. We need people around us. Another thing that holds us back from community, and I'm guilty of this one too, I'm really just up here preaching myself, so, is a lack of commitment. In our culture, we can kind of be anti-committal. We're like, well, maybe I'll do that, but I don't know. And what ends up happening is we just don't do anything. I know my wife and I, we just won't, you know, sometimes we just won't do anything. We'll just, we're like, well, we had good intentions and great ideas, but, you know, we should have some people over for dinner. Yeah, we should do that. Nothing ever happens. And so we've had to really be intentional, but we've also just had to be like, we need to commit. Like, all right, Tuesday night, we're going to have these people over for dinner. Another thing that holds us back is independence. Independence is not a bad thing, but anything in excess could be bad. In our culture, in America, we're very independent. Like, we're really independent, sometimes to an unhealthy degree. And to kind of give you guys just a picture, that my wife is from South Africa, and in South Africa, the culture is very different. Everybody's it's like a very relational culture. The priority is people. The priority is family. It's not getting things done. It's not, you know, so for me, I am the American, and I'm like, and I'm a television producer, so I'm like, we got to do this, then we'll meet with this person, we'll do this, we'll do that. And my wife's like, well, what about time for us together? What about relationships? Like, we can't just do all these things, you know? And in America, we're in such a fast-paced culture. Go here, do this, do that. We don't make time for relationships. Very rarely do we. I don't know, that's my background. I know it's just like ambition, pursue this, go to school, do this. Guys, we cannot keep doing that, because you'll get to the end of that line and you'll have no one. I've had some scary moments in my life where I was so ambitious in pursuing film. I was directing all these short films in school. I was doing all these great things. And it was like, at the end of the day, what do I have to show for it? A couple short films that I probably don't want to show anybody? Was it really worth it? Sacrificing the relationships, the friendships, the community? It's not. Another thing my wife said that holds us back from community, I was asking her, I was like, what do you think? And she was saying, our beliefs. And how true is that? Sometimes we don't unify because we don't believe in the same things. We're like, well, you know, I would come together with that person, but I don't really believe the same thing they believe in. They don't believe in the gifts, so we can't really hang out with them. Or they're this way, so we can't hang out with them, or whatever. You want to know what? That, we can't do that. We need to, like, focus on what do we, like, my personality type, I'm a high, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Strength Finders. Strength Finders is like a personality assessment, but it talks about, like, what are you gifted in? You know, one of my high gifts is harmony. So you put me in a situation, if there's people who've got issues with other people, like, I'll get in there, I'm like, okay, we can make this, what can we agree on? We can all get along here. You know, it's one of my strengths, like, well, you know, you agree on this and you agree on this, so we can come together, you know? And so that's part of my gifting. But you know what? Like, it can be really hard, can it? Coming together with people we don't agree on, family members we don't always agree on, maybe they have different lifestyles. How do we come together with them, you know? It can be challenging, but look at what you can agree on. We can unify over that. Imagine if the church, if we just said, hey, we all believe in Jesus, don't we? Can we agree on that? Imagine what we could do unified. The last kind of thing I wanted to talk about is one of the things that holds us back from finding community sometimes is our idea of what community should be. And I'm going to read just an excerpt from this book called Life Together. It's about community, from an author named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This guy's amazing. He was a theologian. And just listen to this, because it's going to rock your world. He who loves his dream of a community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter, even though his personal intentions may be ever so honest and earnest and sacrificial. our idealistic idea of what community should be can sometimes be the thing that destroys us from actually achieving it. Because we're like, whoa, this is a really messy, Harvest is a messy place. Let's go to the church down the road. Let me tell you right now, church down the road is probably messy too. And the church down that road is going to be messy too. The thing is, we have this idea of this perfect community where, you know what? You're not going to find it. It's messy. Family's messy. Relationships are messy. Community's messy. What can you agree on? What can we come together and find? Because let me tell you, I mean, I've been to a lot of churches and I've been in a lot of different communities all around the United States. And it is what you make it. And it is, you got to come together and there's going to be confrontations. There's going to be mess. But you work through that. You don't just give up and you don't just say, well, you know, this isn't where I want to be. Or this isn't, you know, okay, well, listen to the Lord. Ask him where he wants you to be. But you make that into what it needs to be. You don't give up. So how do we do community well? I was sharing about Resonate earlier, the young adult group that we were leading. And part of what we did was we went around, people shared their stories and stuff like that. Another thing we would do is every week, and it was funny because people always make fun of us because they were like, it's like an AA meeting. Can we go around and be like, all right, everybody in the group, you know, can share, you know, share just briefly about what's going on in your week. You know, share a high and we would do like what's highs and lows for the week. Share something that was kind of a bummer situation, really was hard, you know, spiritually, and then share something really awesome. And so we go around in these circles and people would share, and sometimes some of the lows, I mean, people would just be, they'd wear their heart on their sleeve and they'd be like, this is what I'm going through. You know, I'm struggling with this. And sometimes people would be like, this is amazing, this is what happened. And it was so cool because we were really sharing the things inside. And we really got to see people coming alive and people trusting people and people really loving each other and praying for each other. It was awesome. So how do we do it well? Well, you have to share things. You can't just sit there in church. You have to be a part of relationships. Intentionality. You have to make it happen. You know, it's not up to Pastor David to come up here and, you know, create and divide everybody up or anything. Like, are you pursuing relationships here? Are you pursuing relationships in the body of Christ elsewhere? Another thing I was talking about earlier is generosity. Like, that's how we do community well. Sometimes it's like, hey, you know what? We're just gonna invite a bunch of people over for dinner, and we're just going to eat the cost. Stumps do it, like, all the time. I think we've eaten them out of house and home, actually. But, like, when we just go, you know what? We're just going to share. We're just going to have people over. We're going to bite the bullet and just bring people in. The Filipinos, they do this luncheon over here. I don't know how many of you guys have been to that? Isn't that not amazing? How amazing is the community that's created around that? I'm always shocked. Every time I go in there, I'm like, people are just sharing life, laughing, doing life together. They all bring something to the table. Are you bringing something to the table?
A lot of rice.
A lot of rice. Here we go. We need more rice, guys. Thanks for that, Charger. Another thing about how we can do community well is to communicate. Yeah, I'm going there. When you have an issue with someone, are you talking to them about it? Or do you just like, I don't like that person, I'm going to go away? Do you actually confront them? I can tell you, I can count so many times where I have confronted people, and it was not fun. Confrontation is not fun, especially when you're a big harmony guy like me, like I was telling you earlier, where I'm like, can we just agree on everything and just be cool? Like, confrontation is not my favorite thing to do. I've really had to learn to do it. But you know what? In the midst of that, if I get hurt, if somebody does something that I'm like, hey, I don't think that's cool, I've learned to just confront them and go, hey, look, I know you probably didn't mean to do this, but this, when you did this, kind of made me feel like this. I had to get vulnerable. That's scary. You could get hurt more. Or maybe they didn't mean to do it. Or maybe they didn't realize how it was affecting you. And as soon as you open that up, they can go, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to do that. And what ends up happening is in the midst of that confrontation, you actually come closer together. Healthy confrontation will always bring you closer together. Always. Sometimes it doesn't always happen that way. I get it. It's not always fun. I've had plenty of not fun experiences. When I was, part of my job is I get to travel. And I go to different places and I interview different people for the 700 Club. It's awesome. I love my job. My wife and I actually got to travel together on this one. We went up to New Jersey, and we went to a monastery, of all places, to interview a nun, and she was part of a nunnery, if I could call it that. Is that a word? But they're cloistered nuns, so they don't go out. They stay in. And so they let us in. They're not super, they're not as strict as some, but they let us come in and interview them and walk around. And so I got to go in and I got to see these. It was really fascinating, guys. But it was like, we got to see how these nuns were doing life together. And you know what? It was really funny. Sister Catherine, she was the nun we were interviewing. And let me tell you, she's really funny for a nun. I'm serious. I didn't think nuns would be funny. I thought they'd be really, serious and stuff. No, she was funny. And she was very real. Very real. She was like, you know what? Sometimes we don't like each other in here. She's like, yeah. But you know, we always work through it. We just talk through it. She was sharing a story with me about how one of the older nuns used to be kind of, she's kind of mean. And she's just kind of rude to everybody and kind of did her own thing, And she's saying, in the midst of community and staying in there, her heart softened over the years and over the years, and she became one of the most loving, caring people in their community. In that community, they found that. In that community, she was changed. In community, you can be changed. I'm just going to kind of go through a quick summary, and we're going to close out here in just a little bit. But community is important. We need it to be, like I was saying, unified. We need accountability, and we're just happier together, and we live longer. Come on. What's wrong with that? We are to devote ourselves to fellowship. Be intentional. Like the early church, they devoted themselves to it. Devote yourself to it. Make time for it. Community isn't an option. It's essential. I'm going to say that again. Community is not an option. It's essential. You need it. Can't do it on your own. Jesus never intended for you to. Real Christian community leads to strong relationships and powerful personal growth. If you want to grow in Christ, get in community. We must fight against our overly strong independence, like I was talking about. We gotta be intentional. We need to fight our lack of commitment, and we also have to avoid that idealistic idea of what community is. And lastly, we can do community well by being intentional, which is what I was talking about earlier, vulnerable, generous, and good communicators. Practically, I'm talking about a lot of great things. I know it sounds great, but I just want to break it down even further. Practically, what does this look like to do community? One of the things Dustine and I used to do, there used to be a lot of young adults that were up in the front area up here a while back, and we used to just go out and get lunch after church. So we'd come, we'd hear the message, and then we'd go out and we'd talk about life. We'd go out, we'd eat, we'd just talk, laugh, do life together. And you want to know what? We really were bonding together. And we even sometimes talked about what was the message? We would talk about that. We really grew closer together. Guys, there's lots of things you can do. Ask people to come over for dinner. Have people come over, and invite them, be like, hey, let's just do dinner and just hang out and play board games. Like, there's lots of practical things that we can do to make community. I'm going to close out just with a couple questions. They're rhetorical, so don't answer me. Are you in community? Who are you sharing life with? Is there anyone in your life that you are sharing what's going on inside here with? Is there anyone who will come alongside you and encourage you and say you're doing a great job? Is there anyone who's in your life that can come alongside you and go, hey, dude, what's going on? You don't seem like yourself. If you don't have that, I encourage you, find it. What's holding you back from investing in community? And lastly, what part of the body of Christ are you? And are you an active part, or are you not fulfilling the role that God's called you to? I'm going to ask my wife to come up. She's going to pray for us and close this out. But I just want to encourage you guys, go after this. I know many of you guys know Jonathan Pettit. We've actually been talking with Jonathan, and we're talking about doing some worship prayer nights and just very low-key, and I'm sure we'll have more information about that. But, I mean, I encourage you guys, like, if you want community, like, it's coming together to pursue the Lord, and we're going to be doing some of that. And I know that, you know, we've got the prophetic nights coming up as well, but really, like, I just want to encourage you guys. I know what it's like to know the Lord and not have anybody, and it's not a good place. I really struggled after I got saved, and I didn't have anybody. It wasn't until I moved away that I actually found people that I connected with in Christian community, and I just want to encourage you guys, go after it. Don't sit back. Ask the Lord. He'll send people into your life. Go ahead and pray.
Do you just want to stand? We'll just close it. Oh, it's just exciting that we don't have to do it alone. Yeah. So let's just, Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, you've set us up, that we don't have to face anything alone. That, Lord, you planted us in families. You planted us in communities, God. That, Lord, you never wanted us to face anything alone. You even sent your Holy Spirit that we would know we would be comforted, we would be strengthened, we would be uplifted. And so, God, we just ask that you would just break off of us any mindsets that we've created of what community is, or any fear that says that if I open up, what if I'm not accepted? What if I'm not loved? Lord, we just ask that you would break those lies off of us. And that, Lord, you would just help us to step into community where we would be loved and challenged and accepted and just encounter more of you, Father. So, God, we just ask, even as we go throughout this week, that, God, you would just help us, that you would just unlock our hearts to begin to be a place of community, to be a place where people can come to. And so, Lord, we just invite you into our week, God, that you would just encounter us, that every person here, Lord, would be connected, that they would feel loved and accepted, and that they would just be, over this year, I just see advancement, I just see people getting plugged in, and just unbelievable growth happening in people's lives, that people are going to get healed, their hearts are going to come alive, because you guys will go out and love and plug people in and be plugged in yourself. So Lord, we just thank you for just your presence in our lives and that you would just bless our week. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Real quick, before we close out, I just felt like I heard the Lord say there, I'm just stepping out here, but I felt like I heard the Lord say there's an Angelo and a Michael and you came together. Is there who came to church today together? Is there an Angelo and Michael? If you're here and you don't want to raise your hand, come talk to me because I just want to pray over you. It's good stuff. So we bless you guys. Have a great day, and we'll see you next Sunday.